Hi, I'm Janelle Moretti.
And I'm Matt Moretti, the third.
We're married.
Obviously.
And that's nice, but we love all things Disney and we want to share our magical experiences with you.
Each week, we'll take you backstage to our lives as Disney parents / adult children, to our passion for the Disney parks and beyond.
And share some tips and tricks that might help you experience the magic that makes us feel like kids again every time we stroll down Main Street, USA.
This is the Mo Magic Hour Podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Mo Magic Hour podcast. I am Janelle Moretti, and I am here with my handsome husband, Matt.
Role reversal. I like it. Sounded great.
Thanks.
Way to welcome us in to episode 4. And special thank you again to our guests, our last episode, Janelle's parents, Jeff and Karen. Our first guest, our only guest so far, and it's exciting. And we're going to try to do some more of that in future episodes coming up here, but a little bit back to normal, so to speak, as back to normal can be in your fourth episode of a show. We're going to tell some stories about my first trip to Disney, and then we'll talk a little bit more about some updates to Disney parks, specifically Disneyland out on the West Coast, and then as they've announced their open dates, and then maybe we'll hit some soft topics on the way out. So getting rolling here, I guess we'll jump right into it and talk through my first visit to Disney. Janelle's heard a lot of the stories, haven't you?
Yes, I have.
So, you know, unlike a lot of kids who go when they're younger. Janelle's talked a lot about going when you were younger. When was your first trip again?
Oh, goodness. I had to be five, maybe six. No, definitely five, because my sister, I think, just turned one, so I was five, because we're 4 years apart. So that was, 1994 would have been the year. So, yeah, that was my first time.
So it's kind of funny, like, my grandparents are huge into Disney and had us huge into Disney. We were well-versed in all the Disney movies. My mom's a huge Disney fan. My neighbor, like I mentioned early on, is a massive Disney fan, has this crazy Mickey Mouse collection of stuff. But it was odd. It was sort of that one thing that my mom always wanted to do for us, but we were never able to do until it all kind of came together. I was 21, 2011. Well, it might have been 20 still, but regardless, it was 2011, summer between my junior and senior year of college. My brother would have been wrapping up his freshman year of college, and my little sister was five. So it was perfect time for her to go for her first time, and, you know, a good time for Joe and I to go. And my mom was finally able to take us with my stepdad, Don, and my grandma Ev came along. We all piled into the old SUV.
No, I had already gone three times, possibly four. We went at the same time and didn't know it.
Little did we know.
And that's the trip you're talking about. I was there earlier in the week with my family. Now, just to reiterate, we didn't know each other, speak to each other, nothing until 2013. This was 2011, and we happened to be in Disney World at the same time.
So we go, that's crazy. Like crazy, you know, 6 degrees is Kevin Bacon, if you ever played that game. It's crazy. We went, it was 4th of July weekend, whatever that was. I don't know what the days of the week were, but we were doing something. I think, thinking back, I was trying to rack my brain today, knowing I was going to tell this story. It might have been five or six days. We only spent four in the parks. We did a day off in between, like a lot of people do. But the main thing was that we were staying off property. So my grandma is well versed in the world of timeshares and trading them and trading point, all this stuff. I can't even begin to explain how it all works. Janelle maybe can get into some of that.
No.
Isn't Vacation Club sort of a timeshare model? Inspired by?
Yeah, I would say inspired by, but I still am trying to learn the ropes of the Disney Vacation Club right now, because we don't have the need to do Disney Vacation Club right now. Probably right. Maybe down the road we will, but right now, yeah.
So anyway, my grandma has a timeshare in Key West, Florida, was able to trade it and do something in the Orlando area for this trip we wanted to do, and I'll never forget it. We drove down from Western New York, Whitesville, where my mom lives, down to Orlando, straight through. I don't remember stopping.
You probably stopped a little bit.
Yeah, but I don't remember staying
overnight in a hotel or something.
Yeah, I think we might have done. It was probably 20 hours.
Yeah.
18 to 20 hours, depending on the traffic.
Oh, yeah, because you're more south than.
Yeah. And there were so many of us in the car that I was in a lawn chair in the trunk. Got the short straw on that one, but I wanted to make sure Grandma had room. Little Meg had her car seat.
Now, we don't want to condone that because that's illegal, everyone.
But it's a fun fact of the story.
Yes, it did happen, but it's passed. Nobody should do that, and nobody should tell the police, well, on the Mo Magic Hour podcast, this is what they did, and it was fine. It's not fine. It's funny right now because it was in the past, but it's not fine moving forward. We are not for breaking the law.
It ended up being sort of productive. You know, I was back there. I couldn't really hear the TV or the DVD player my sister was watching. So I was kind of in my own little world. I did some research on grad schools, none of which I ended up attending. So I don't know, whatever. We get down there, we decompress for an afternoon or whatever it was, a day, before we end up going to the parks for the first time. And of course, you know, your first time at Disney World, what are you going to do? You're going to Magic Kingdom, right? So it just so happened that our first day in any Disney park was the Magic Kingdom on the 4th of July.
Oh my gosh.
And Janelle, is that a high traffic time at Disney World?
Yes. Now, we were also in Magic Kingdom on the 4th of July, but that was our last day or second to last day in the parks. I can't remember. Like, that was at the tail end of mine and my parents and my sister's trip that we went on that year. Yours was just kicking off, and that was your intro to Disney World. Yep. Was the 4th of July.
Yep.
At Magic Kingdom.
Yep.
You poor souls.
Now, I don't remember, and I tried to remember today. I don't remember if we had park tickets in advance or if we were walking up to the window every day. I don't remember. Either way, we didn't do the park hopper thing. We picked a day. We went to that park. And so, of course, 4th of July, we went to the Magic Kingdom. And we were in there. And we didn't know, having not been there, my grandma had been there, but she kind of wanted to let us do our thing and have our own day. To Jeff and Karen's point in the last episode, they weren't about to try to direct us around. My grandma wasn't about to try and direct us around. So
they were along for the ride.
Just along for the ride. So, you know, my brother and I, being, sort of the leaders of the group by default, grabbed maps when we walked in and said, all right, we're going to try to do this, this, and this, and we're going to try to map out where we're going to go. And we spent probably the first couple hours of the day just on Main Street because we were checking out all the shops. We were the people who were going to try to see everything in that park because we were only going to be there that day.
Yeah. I don't condone just walking into Magic Kingdom, grabbing a park map, and that being your first time looking at the park map, looking at Disney, and just being like, okay, where do we want to go? I don't condone that.
Now, what?
Not saying it's wrong.
Right. Now, what we're trying to get at here is like,
but if you're a first timer,
we didn't know any better. Like, yeah. We didn't know.
Yeah, you wouldn't have known.
This was before the app. This was before electronic fast passes. This was before Magic Bands. Mm-hmm. So we still had the paper fast passes. So we were just, you know, for better or worse, we knew about the fast pass system, but for better or worse, we treated it like essentially a Six Flags. Right? We just rolled in there. We're going to do the park for a day and get out of there.
Like, I feel like all my Disney diehards are cringing right now.
Well, you know,
comparing it to your Six Flags.
That's, you know, we treated it like a day at an amusement park. And we didn't even, I don't even know if we thought to do reservations or, you know, any of that nuanced stuff that we all know we should just do now. Like, of course, it makes the day that much easier. So we were just going to roll in there and roll with it, right? So we go in there, we navigate Main Street, we make that right turn after we take some pictures in front of the castle, and we head down towards Tomorrowland, and forever and always, my first...
What's your first Disney attraction? This is going to set the stage for the rest of the trip, and you're just like, this is what we're going to do first. This is my first experience. Hit it. What did you hit first?
Stitch's Great Escape.
Yay!
The line was short.
Yep.
It was fun.
It was.
I don't... Stitch is a... Client.
I love Stitch. He's Stitch one of my good. Favorites. But from that's what I'm his told, first.
From what I'm told, Alien Encounter was pretty wild.
I mean, I was young and did not like scary things, so I did not enjoy that.
Stitch's Great Escape was a watered down... considerably version of that, and now it is no more. Mm-hmm. I remember going through that and walking across to the Laugh Floor right after that with my 5-year-old sister, and away we went with the day. I distinctly remember a few minutes after the Laugh Floor, we head into, what is it, Merchant of Venus?
Yep.
Over there, the gift shop, and the rule for my 5-year-old sister was, you're going to get one souvenir at each park. And what does she pick at the Magic Kingdom? But a Candace doll of Phineas and Ferb fame in the Magic Kingdom. Who knew? My brother and I tried really hard to talk her out of it. You're not reasoning with a 5-year-old. In 2011, so that'll leave.
You know that just pushed her harder towards that.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, what are you gonna do? So once we got sort of wind of the Fast Pass stuff, my brother and I started bouncing around trying to grab Fast Passes to different stuff and figuring it out what it is, how the web kind of works that you have to follow. I remember having lunch in Frontierland. I remember my brother met with an unfortunate bomb from a bird above. Kind of ruined his lunch and his shirt. And we hit Splash Mountain. Awesome. We did the wait. Boy, did we wait, because, you know, 4th of July crowds. But I remember getting a fast pass for that to come back and do it again, which certainly we had to have missed once I get to the end of the story of this day. And, you know, like I mentioned before, no dining reservations, so we grabbed some lunch in Frontierland somewhere, and then later in the day, after we hit a couple more rides while waiting in long lines, we settled into, what is it, Pinocchio Village Haas? Mm-hmm. Is that what it is up north there?
Up north?
Up north, because...
By the carousel?
By the carousel. Well, Fantasyland had to be under construction, right?
At that time? Fantasyland.
New Fantasyland?
Mm-hmm. Or...
Because I don't remember being able to get back there.
Yeah, no, it just wasn't anything, but it was still Toontown back there. Mickey's Toontown Fair was back there.
Okay.
At that time, but like...
I do recall at least some signage for
Be Our Guest, and all that stuff wasn't there yet.
Right. I remember seeing some signage for them getting ready to build it if they weren't built in the process of getting started already.
Walls were probably up at that point.
But yeah, that was cool. So, you know, and then we have that meal, and I remember distinctly my mom getting wind of Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique. Of course, I've got a little 5-year-old sister who wants to do that, and we didn't know any better. We didn't know that when my mom was going to get on the phone, they were going to tell her, we have some reservations 3 months from now. My mom was going to say, well, we're here now. Well, that's not how it works.
No, that's not how it works, everyone.
Unfortunately. Now, we made the most...
Not to say you can't get lucky, but the chances of that happening, especially at the one in Magic Kingdom, are...
Crazy.
Slim to none.
Yeah.
But on 4th of July.
We made the most of it. We found a pretty cool, I think it was a Sleeping Beauty dress for my sister somewhere in one of the shops. Mm-hmm. And more on that later. And after dinner, we decide, all right, sun's going down. Let's post up for the fireworks.
Where'd you post up?
Behind the castle. And, you know, again, we didn't know any better. We figured you'd be able to see them from wherever. And we saw fireworks. I guess we... Which show would that have been?
Wishes.
Wishes. So I don't know if it was Wishes or if it was a different show because it was 4th of July. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, it would have been the 4th of July show.
So, I mean, right. Still pretty spectacular, but there was probably pieces of it we didn't catch because we weren't out in front of the castle. Whatever. It was cool.
So I mean, I think being, like, if you're an experienced person, seeing it from behind the castle and stuff is really cool. Mm-hmm. But I would tell, especially if you're there on a holiday where they do a special fireworks and it's your like your first time, I would tell you to make sure you're in front of the castle somewhere.
So let me ask
especially
this.
Because the fireworks for the 4th of July go up around Main Street and all the way around the lagoon.
So let me ask you this. Now, we've not been behind the castle since Happily Ever After started.
Mm-hmm.
Would you even know it from behind the castle that Happy Ever After is going on?
Yeah. The music.
Yeah. You hear the music?
You can hear the music and the fireworks back there. Yeah, you definitely can.
There's no rear projection?
No, there's no rear projection. We've seen it so many times. I would love to tell you, yeah, let's go back there. But I just, I can't bring myself to leave the projections. I think the only time I really... not been on Main Street to watch the projections was when I went with the girls from the agency and we watched it from the rooftop lounge at Bay Lake Tower.
Okay.
But we could still see a little bit of the projections and stuff.
Well, I guess when we went to the Arcusis, we heard the whole thing. We could see the fireworks.
Yeah, but that wasn't our planned day to watch the fireworks. Right, that was... Right. Yeah.
So, yeah. A little insider knowledge, I guess. And I remember they do such a good job with the perspective of the fireworks. I'll remember this from when we went to the Halloween party this past year in August. And we decided to hop over. It was later in the Halloween party. We'd already seen the villain show. Mm-hmm. And we decided to go over towards Space Mountain. And you see they were running the villain show again. Mm-hmm. You see how far back the fireworks are from the castle. It's crazy how much care they put into that perspective from where you stand. Facing the castle. It's really cool.
Gotta get those pictures.
Yeah. So anyway, when we close up the fireworks, and of course, after any fireworks show on any day, there's a mass exodus.
Mm-hmm.
This is the 4th of July. Mm. The crowds have amassed, and we decide to head back through, help me out on what... Back across, so we're behind the castle. We decide to head towards
Frontierland.
It's a small world down towards Frontierland to try to get out that way, right?
Mm-hmm. And you probably went through Adventureland to come up towards the hub, and you said you went through Casey's Corner, like the Emporium.
Ultimately, we ended up doing that, yeah. But the thing is, that we were moving at two feet a minute. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was crazy. I had little Meg on my shoulders. She's trying to direct traffic. Oh, go over there. That's clearing up a little bit. 5 years old. Mm-hmm. It's like pointing me to openings in the crowd. And, you know, we decide ultimately we start getting to the point where we need to make a decision. We're going to go towards the exit or we can go back towards Splash Mountain and try to do that again. And the crowd is considerably lighter headed towards Splash Mountain. So that's what we did.
Mm-hmm.
We hightailed it back that direction. Did Splash Mountain again in the dark this time. It was really cool. Highly recommend. And then... coming out, now we're going to leave, and we run into a parade. What would the parade have been at that time? Because they don't do the nighttime parades anymore, just on a regular day.
Mm-mm. I can't remember if Spectro Magic made its appearance again and then went away, or if it was the Main Street Electrical Parade.
Hmm.
I can't remember off the top of my head.
I don't either, but it was cool. We just thought it was funny that after all that, the crowd lightened up a little bit, and we get stopped by a parade, and we were trying to leave. But anyway, long story short, basically we learned that we needed to be a little more conscious with the maps and be a little more prepared going in each day.
Yeah.
We decided to do, after a grueling day in the heat on the 4th of July, we decided day two, we're going to Epcot.
Which I would still do. If you are not doing Epcot first, I would try and do it second. Or, you know, if you have a break day in the middle of the week, I would do it after that break day. It's just so much walking. It's so much walking. Not to say the other parks aren't big and you're doing a lot of walking, but I think the other parks have definitely more attractions and shows where you actually physically get to sit down. Not to say that you can't sit down at Epcot, but it's pretty big, especially for little feet or older feet.
Yeah. I remember at Epcot, we skipped Spaceship Earth. My brother and I hit with our stepdad, we hit Mission Space, we hit Test Track. My little sister went and did Turtle Talk with Crush, and even got, because that's an interactive, explain to me what Turtle Talk is.
I like Turtle Talk with Crush. So basically, you know, you go in and they ask for all the children to kind of sit towards the front where the screen is, and Crush comes in on the screen, and Crush will be very interactive, and there will be a cast member going around with a microphone, and Crush will ask a question, or a kid can ask a question to Crush, and there will be some give and take kind of thing. It's different every single time because it all depends on, you know, what the kid says.
And what kind of mood Crush is in.
Yeah, and what kind of mood Crush is in. He's usually in a laid back, really chill mood.
Usually.
Yeah.
So
it's very funny.
Yeah.
Especially if you have kids.
Oh, it's great.
Take them there because it's almost like kids say the darndest things kind of situation happening.
So we, my brother, my stepdad, and I arrive over towards the land as my mom, my grandmother, and my sister are coming out of Turtle Talk with Crush, and they're saying, Meg got to ask a question. Meg got to ask a question. Meg got to ask a question. I go, well, what did you ask? She goes, nothing. She clammed up. Got the stage fright. Didn't get to ask her question. The microphone came and we hit the freeze button. She was a little nervous. It's all right. Crush's big celebrity.
He plays into it. Yes.
Yeah, he's a big celebrity, but he made her feel good. It was good.
Yeah.
From there, we hit...
And you didn't hit Soarin', right?
No, we weren't able to get in the Soarin'. The line was crazy. We didn't do Living with the Land, mostly because I didn't see it at the time. It's kind of tucked away.
It is kind of tucked away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we did... What's the restaurant in there? Just outside Soarin'.
Sunshine Seasons.
Sunshine Seasons. I know we did that for lunch.
And that's the quick service place. We're not talking about Garden Grill. That's a sit-down character meal.
Which is really cool. Riley liked that.
Riley didn't like that.
The whole place rotates.
Yes, very slowly. So if you're like, oh my gosh, it rotates, I'm going to get sick. You don't even know it's happening. You'll just look up and you'll be like, oh, we're in a different spot. Because basically it shows kind of the sections of that you go through on Living with the Land and stuff below. It's very cool. And the characters are kind of dressed in like harvest farmer outfits.
Farmer Mickey came over.
Farmer Mickey came over. And
Chippendale.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pluto.
And Pluto, yeah. So it was a good time. So with my family, we got a quick bite at Sunshine Seasons there.
Which is very good. They have a lot of, like, kind of... I don't know if they did when you went, but there's, like, the menu stuff, and then there's a lot of rotating specialty menu things that are really cool to check out. And they do have arguably one of the best, like, dessert cupcakery little... tucked away situation there.
Yeah. I've heard a lot of good things about Sunshine Seasons. It makes me want to go back. You kind of skip over it because it looks sort of food courty, but it's not. There's a lot to it.
I know.
So anyway, we finish up there. We hop out to the World Showcase now. We're going to be the people, since it's our only day in Epcot, we don't know when we're coming back. We're going to see everything that each pavilion has to offer, and we beat ourselves up.
Ambitious.
Yeah, we beat ourselves up quite a bit, I think by Morocco.
You went Mexico.
Yeah, we went Mexico.
Mexico first.
I know we rerode the Maelstrom in Norway before it was the Frozen Ever After ride.
Oh, yeah.
It was still the Maelstrom. I think there had been... Frozen wouldn't have been out yet, right?
No, Frozen came out in 2013.
So there wasn't even discussions that ride was going to change.
2014.
Right. So something the Maelstrom like was pretty cool. There are a lot of loyalists out there that still really like that ride.
And it's still technically the same track as the Maelstrom.
I remember, ridden both, it's the exact same ride. They just changed out the scenes.
Yeah.
And there's still, when you come out and you go to the gift shop, there's a lot of nods to the ride. If you've been on the ride, you notice that there are a lot of nods to the original ride in the gift shop and the gift area. It's really cool. But anyway, we got through that. That was probably our longest stay on that side of the showcase. We get all the way up to Morocco. And by the time we're at Morocco, we're dragging, right? Because it's a lot. And we've already done all the
part. It always seems to be full sun when you're at Epcot, yeah. Man.
And we've already done all the rides and stuff in different at the front of the park. Mm-hmm. And now we're beating ourselves up at World Showcase. It's almost like you could do 2 days at Epcot easily just doing World Showcase or the front half of the park and be fine. And there's a lot to consume your brain with in all of that. Mm-hmm. But we get to Morocco and we can tell my grandma's struggling. My little sister's getting cranky. So we did that, the rest of it, pretty quickly. I remember pretty distinctly. So I don't really remember what we ate or where we stopped at after that. I just remember stopping in Morocco and thinking, all right, we're struggling here. Let's wrap this up. So we got around the rest of the park. And we got done with that and moved on. And that's when we decided, all right, we need a day in between here. So we took a day off.
Did you guys hit the pool, go to Disney Springs? Well, I guess it would have been downtown Disney at that time. But
yeah, the place
we I guess because you were at a timeshare.
Yeah, we were in a timeshare. The place we stayed at had a big pool. It was sort of like a, I don't want to say it, a condo complex. But it had a big pool and, like, kids' water play area thing. It was pretty nice. We liked it. But on that day off in between, I believe, okay, yeah. So we went to dinner that day on the day off at Disney Springs. The name of the place escapes me. It was a Cuban style restaurant, and it was
Bongos.
There's sort of like a boat on the water. I don't know if it's still there or not, but there was sort of like a riverboat kind of deal.
Yeah, it's still there. Well, it's now Paddlefish.
Okay.
But it was Fulton's Crab House.
Okay. But it wasn't that. It was a Cuban-style place, so it might have been Bongos, which was good. I remember that food being good, but that was all we did that night. And we went into the World of Disney, this gift shop, Legos, and we did all the shops that Downtown Disney at the time had to offer. Mm-hmm. It was pretty cool. And that's when we did... So that was our light day. Next day was Hollywood Studios, where I sat here trying to remember a lot of the stuff we did at Hollywood Studios, and I had a hard time. I don't know why. All I remember, the main thing I remember
is your brain has now turned into mush ever since Galaxy's Edge comes. It takes over now.
Galaxy's Edge. But I do distinctly remember about Hollywood Studios, that was the day that the skies just opened up and poured most of the day, to the point where you understand why the roads seem so sunken in compared to the sidewalk. Like at Hollywood Studios, you take a step down into the roadway. Mm-hmm. The roadway, I say in finger quotes. It's terrible radio to do finger quotes.
It's happening though.
But like the sidewalks are elevated, and it's a decent step down into that roadway. Well, you see when it rains like that, you see why it's that way, because it looks like rivers.
Flood, yeah.
It just looks like rivers rushing to these very strategically placed drains, which, you know, credit to the engineering or the imagineering.
There we go. Say. Oh my gosh. Yes.
But it didn't rain. I know we did most days. We spent a lot of time in that early front part of the park hitting all the shops. And then, of course, as we did with most of the parks, we moved to the right, down towards Tower of Terror. Before we hit Tower of Terror, we hit the Beauty and the Beast show, which was really nice, and went up Tower of Terror, did the long wait in line, and I don't think my brother and I...
Left your poor grandma.
We left my poor grandmother to watch the stroller. What's the restaurant right across from? Not restaurant, it's sort of a quick service.
Yeah,
right?
There's like Rosie's All American Cafe in Fairfax Fair over there.
Yeah. She was hanging out by there. And I remember being on the ride.
They're just like little stands. You mostly see like the picnic tables.
And so I remember being on the ride. We're going up and down and up and down and up and down. And at one point, the ride, the doors open and you can see out at the park. Mm-hmm. And that's when we see that it is downpouring. And I hear my mom next to me. She's now taking out of the ride. And she goes, "Oh, my God, my mom's getting rained on." And the ride continues. We go down, the ride ends, and we hustle out. To go find Grandma Ev. And we find her after we run through the rain. We post up under the umbrella, under the table. She had gotten with like an umbrella or a canopy, whatever it was. She had some wherewithal there. And my stepdad and I went and grabbed some food from one of the windows, came back, sat there a while until it stopped. The only other thing I really remember from that day, we bounced around, hit the big stuff. We hit, you know, the Muppet 3D show. We hit
Star Tours.
We did hit Star Tours. We hit Indiana Jones, the main stuff. Mm-hmm. But the big one at the end of the night, as always, is Fantasmic, right? Mm-hmm. Of course, as soon as Fantasmic is about to start, the skies open up again.
Florida. Florida and hurricane season.
There's a photo somewhere, and I'm going to have my mom try to find it for me, of my little sister just sitting there on a bench by herself, no one around her, in a poncho, hands on her little knees, drenched, smiling, waiting for Fantasmic to start.
Oh, so sad.
It started probably once or twice, and I think the longest it went was about 5 minutes. So we saw Mickey come out and do his whole thing to get the show started, and then he'd stop and be like, "Oh, that's not it." And then a little voice would come up, "Oh, we're being cautious. We're going to wait a minute for this," whatever. And then,
because in Florida, rain, especially during hurricane season, can change so fast. It will be downpouring, and then 20 minutes later, it's sunny. The sidewalks are drying up, and you wouldn't even know it. So it's just so unpredictable that Disney's not going to be like, right away, cancel, because they're checking the radar. They're looking at it, seeing if they can sneak in a show in between storm clouds.
Yeah, and eventually it went on long enough where they just cut bait and said, "Unfortunately, we have to cancel Fantasmic for the night." So we didn't get to see it.
Poor Meg.
Poor little Meg. And, of course, so then that was the end of that day. We go back for our final day, Animal Kingdom. Mm-hmm. And I remember it raining most of that day.
I feel like every time I go to Animal Kingdom, always rains.
It's weird. It rained when we went for our...
And always at Epcot, it's sweltering hot.
Can we get a rainy day at Epcot?
Right?
Can we trade you?
Yeah.
Be careful what we wish for, I guess.
Right?
I know. Then we have our drinks at Epcot. Don't want to get
rain. But then you could sit down.
True.
Yeah, and just enjoy your drinks and maybe get another drink and wait out the rain. That doesn't sound terrible.
Right. Well, the difference with the Animal Kingdom day is that it wasn't that like Florida downpour for half an hour and it's over. It was sort of like a steady rain all day. Mm-hmm.
That's what happened to us when we were there for our engagement. Yeah. It was a steady rain all day at Animal Kingdom.
So we hit a Bug's Life. My little sister hated it. My grandma loved it. My grandma was the one who was always reaching out for the 3D stuff, right? Every theater.
I'm with Meg. I'm with Meg on that one.
Janelle's afraid of moths and grasshoppers.
Oh, God, grasshoppers.
She's not a big Bug's Life fan. They're true villains to her.
Yeah. I like the movie, and it's taken me a while to get used to Hopper. But I had a traumatic childhood experience with a grasshopper, and it just happened to happen during the same year A Bug's Life came out. It was just really,
Needless to say, the Florida lubber grasshoppers have not been
a welcome sight. Guys, they're as big as my hands, and it's not okay. I'm not going outside. Oh, and baboons. I don't love baboons. Rafiki, okay, whatever. He's weird. But, like, mandrills and stuff, they terrify me.
Heavily featured at the Jacksonville Zoo and Gardens.
Oh, gosh. But snakes, I'm good with snakes. Snakes are fine.
Okay.
Off on a tangent again. Yeah. Continue on.
So wrapping up our day at the Animal Kingdom, I remember distinctly eating at Flame Tree Barbecue, like everyone else does. It's, you know, the best quick service there. Pound for pound.
Was. In my opinion, was.
Satouli Canteen.
I love Satouli Canteen so much.
So good. It is so good. But Flame Tree's a classic.
Yeah.
And just fighting rain to find a covered spot to eat over there was tough. And
when it's not raining, Flame Tree is really nice because everybody kind of tends to go to those first, like, the first tables you see right next to Flame Tree, but you can follow like the trails and like go back to their seating, like right overlooking the lake where now they do Rivers of Light. If it's so nice.
If you don't find semi-private seating at Flame Tree, you're not doing it right.
Yeah.
I mean, people just don't look hard enough for it.
No.
It's right there.
There's
it's
not really just seating away. Right there. Yeah. You go past that seating and you go down like a little trail and there's a bunch of seating. So I really like that about Flame Tree. It's a really nice setting when it's not raining. But there also is a covered spot.
Yep.
So in case it is raining, fun fact, go back there, follow that trail. Get a seat on the water.
We didn't find that one. That or was full, one or the other. I don't know.
Yeah.
But then, you know, we did the safari. We did some other things. We made it to Expedition Everest, which turned into my favorite roller coaster. Still is. And
favorite roller coaster or favorite ride?
Yes.
At Disney?
Both.
Okay.
For now.
Okay.
I need a second go around on Rise of Resistance.
Okay.
It was that good.
I know. I've been itching to get back there.
Can't talk about that. We could do a whole episode on God's Season.
I know. We should just
next time.
Cut bait and do it next time.
Maybe.
We're going to need, like, it's going to be a part one, part two situation.
That's a tease. Full episode of Galaxy's Edge coming up.
Goodness.
And we wrapped things up. I don't even know if it was the last thing we did. It might have been the last straw. Who knows? Cali River Rapids in a downpour just doesn't have the same effect.
No, when you're already drenched, standing waiting to get on it for an hour.
In a rainstorm, you get to the ride, you're already soaked head to toe. It just doesn't have the same vibe.
No. I mean, Cali River Rapids was never my favorite. If I skip it, I'm good. And I think we have skipped it the past few times. Not because Matt doesn't want to go on, but I don't want to go on. Which, now that I think about it, is weird that I don't really like that. I don't like to go on rides where I know I'm just going to get drenched. However, Splash Mountain is my favorite ride, one of my favorite rides. So I don't have an explanation anymore.
Beats me.
I just don't want, because on Cali, if you get nailed, you get nailed. You're soaked.
So, yeah, and that pretty much, no, I'm forgetting one thing. So we did do a character breakfast.
Oh, yeah.
I don't remember what day it was. I remember, because what we did every day is we drove to the park, we parked, and we hopped on a tram and went to the main entrance. I know we drove to this breakfast. I know we left the breakfast, got in the car, and drove to whatever park we went to that day. Mm-hmm. I don't know where the breakfast was. I can describe it to you. I can describe to you who was there. I know Meg was dressed head to toe in princess gear because I'm pretty sure we all thought it was a princess breakfast.
So does that mean it was not a princess breakfast?
Minnie was there.
She's a princess in our hearts, but not really. She's
Mickey more was like there. The queen. Goofy was there.
Uh-huh.
And Donald was there.
So this is not a princess.
They were dressed in swimwear.
So you were probably at Cape May Cafe.
Where's that?
Beach Club.
Where's that?
Where's the Beach Club Resort?
Yeah. I don't know.
Over by Epcot. Epcot on the back side.
Interesting. But the food was good. Buffet.
Yes.
Really nice place. I thought it was really cool.
Yeah.
Had that, now you say Cape May Cafe, had that look and feel to it.
Yeah.
But it was good.
So no princesses showed up that day?
No.
But Meg probably looked cute. But
Meg looked great. And Meg got all those people's autographs. So it was awesome.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, my mom might have elbowed a few people out of the way to make sure of that.
Probably. Just note that if there is a character meal, they will come to your table. Do not run to them.
Well, it was more of they were at our table and someone tried to run up and get
that's not
out
cool.
of their turn.
Unless it's like a little kid. They don't know.
Right.
But just know, everyone, if you're a parent listening and you're like, oh my gosh, worrying about a character, what if they don't come? They come to your table. They do.
There you go. So that pretty much sums up my trip, my first visit. Unforgettable trip.
It was your first time.
My first time going, like you see all that for the first time, and then to experience all that for the first time, and to feel the immersion, and to be in queue lines and be blown away. Like, that's a feeling I'll never get back now. Like, no matter how many times I go, I'll never get to experience again being in a queue line and being blown away. Like, that feeling of I'm constantly entertained in some way, shape, or form. There's never a moment where you're just looking at something that's nothing. Like, any queue line you're in at Disney, you look around. There's things to look at. There's
things now on the app, goodness. Play Disney on the app, and you're just constantly doing things.
Yeah, but even then, this is pre-app, pre-Magic Bands, pre-everything, and it was that I had that feeling that no matter what step I took, I was able to look at something and feel something and be around something. It was crazy. So with FastPasses now, while it was paper then and it was not confusing, but a little more difficult to navigate then, now FastPasses are something you can help out with, right? Like digitally. And so what are the increments in advance that you're able to help out with there?
So if people book a Disney resort reservation, meaning they're staying on property or they're at a Disney Springs resort or a Good Neighbor resort, some of them now offer, they all would do 60 days in advance for FastPass. And that means not like 60 days before your check-in. And then the next morning you book 60 days out for that day. It's 60 days for your entire vacation up to, I believe, 10 additional days after that. So if you're staying 2 weeks, then you got to wait a little bit to book the remainder of your fast passes. But if you're annual pass holders, it's different. If you're not staying on property, then it's 30 days, but you don't really need to know that.
But yeah, it's all different. It's slightly different now than what I got to experience. But I know my mom worked hard on that trip. My stepdad worked hard on that trip. My sister loved it. She'll say now, as a snarky 13-year-old, she doesn't remember any of it, but she does. She remembers it.
I don't know if she does. She probably remembers bits and pieces. But like I was saying before, when I was 5, I don't know if they're really my memories or if they're seeing pictures and people telling me the memories. So she might not remember.
We'll get her back down here one of these days.
Yeah.
So she can see it again.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, I loved it. What was odd about it and funny about it is as much fun as we had, Janelle sort of opened my eyes to like a whole new world with it, with the reservations and the different dining experiences, the dining plan.
Love the dining plan.
Of course, a little more organized fast passes. Of course, by the time Janelle and I went, the Magic Bands were up and running, and we were able to get that all squared
But that
away.
Was new to me
it was still
at
new
that
at the time.
Time.
It was the thin Magic Bands the first time we went,
yeah,
right? They didn't
just
have the
Magic
watch.
Band 1.
Yeah, it didn't look like a watch yet. It yeah. had that. It had that sort of like Fitbit style.
Yeah,
look to it.
Yeah, it definitely looked like a Fitbit.
We still have those around here somewhere, collector's item now.
Yeah, right? We have a lot of Magic Bands now.
I was watching a video. Some of those still work. Some of the later ones.
Yeah, because their battery can last long and if the battery's still working. But I would always hate, I think of it with my luck, I would use it and be there and then my battery would die like mid-trip.
Right.
That would be my luck.
Right. But with the help of the app, you can change your Magic Band daily.
Yes, you can. If you have multiple Magic Bands.
Which is why we have like a dozen each.
Yeah. And I just keep buying more and more and more.
Match them with your outfit for the day.
Yep, sure will.
So with that, we'll transition a little bit away from my story and move on to some news of the day or the week. From the last time we gave you an update about park openings and dates and all that, we'll talk a little bit specifics, but I'll turn that over to Janelle.
Yeah. Last time we kind of talked about Walt Disney World's proposed reopening and that it was approved and moving forward and stuff. So now Disneyland just kind of announced their proposed reopening. I just want to share the dates and stuff because pretty much everything is kind of the same along the lines of what Walt Disney World was doing. But on July 9th, Downtown Disney District will be reopening. July 17th, both Disneyland Park and Disney's California Adventure Park will be opening. And then July 23rd, the Grand Californian Hotel and Spa and Paradise Pier Hotel will be opening. Disneyland Hotel was not included in that announced reopening. I don't have further information on Disneyland Hotel. I tried figuring out, but I don't really know what's happening, and I don't want to kind of comment on rumors for that. but same kind of thing. It's going to be reduced capacity. There will be the theme park reservation situation, just like at Walt Disney World. There's going to be no fireworks, no character meet and greets, all of the same stuff, all of the same safety and guidelines for that. So just moving forward, that is the proposed reopening. Hasn't been approved yet. Of course, it has to be approved by the board and then go to the governor and all that stuff. So we will see in the next few days, hopefully, that will be an official announcement.
And anything groundbreaking on Disney World or nothing really? I haven't really seen anything.
No, nothing really. Right now, we're all kind of in a holding pattern waiting for this theme park reservation situation to kind of happen. You know, they're still working through the next round of reservations on kind of moving through those. But the chairman of Disney Parks Experiences and Products, Josh D'Amaro, he did kind of post a, what's it called? I don't want to say newsletter.
A memo?
A memo. There we go. A memo on the Disney Parks blog on Wednesday. So you can check that out. It's called The Magic is Returning. And I thought it was really nice. It was just very reassuring from Disney, kind of reiterating, you know, this is a plan. This is why this is a plan. You know, safety and health and all that stuff. And I really liked it. You know, I'm eager to get back to, you know, this is very different than any of us have experienced it. And I know it's hindering a lot of trips and stuff, but it's for safety. Everybody has to remember Disney's losing a lot of money, so they don't want people to cancel their trips. But they want to be safe. They're doing all of this to not only keep their guests safe, but to keep their cast members safe, too. So I was actually kind of surprised by a lot of the negative comments on the Disney Parks blog about people talking about how this is ruining their trip and this is depleting the magic and stuff. And it kind of was a little upsetting and disappointing to me to see that because, you know, Disney has never wanted to do that, I don't believe. Especially him. He's been great. He was great for Disney World, and now he's kind of in charge of all of that stuff. So I do understand why people are upset with the no parades, all these changes, the capacity, the masks and stuff. And I know people, trust me, I've been there where I've planned trips for longer than a year out. I saw before I became a travel agent how hard my mom worked on planning trips and working with a travel agent. But it's important to remember that this is still such a complex and fluid situation that, you know, nobody knows where this is going to go. So to take number one precautions, it has to be done. Disney doesn't want to operate at this small capacity because they are losing a ton of money every day. They're not doing it for fun. They're not doing it to make people mad. They understand. So I just want to reiterate that everybody needs to kind of bear with them. Yes, we're eagerly waiting for that new theme park reservation system to get up and running and stuff. But until then, just occupy yourself with, you know, YouTube videos or heck, podcasts to get your magic. But
they sell Mickey bars at Publix.
They sell Mickey bars at Publix. We've bought in two boxes in the past 2 days. So that's good. But yeah, just try to keep the magic alive yourselves and know that at some point the magic will return.
All right, Janelle, to close the show today.
I'm very nervous.
This is a pop question. There is no prep for this. I just thought of it on the fly, on the air.
He's not lying either, because we just tried to think of something and goes, I got it, and then turned on the mic again. So here we go.
So as we've been deep into quarantine here in Jacksonville, Florida, with a 1.5-year-old little fella, we've explored the deep recesses of Disney Plus, and have uncovered some of our classic favorites. As we've grown tired of watching the same eight or so Pixar movies over and over and over and over again. Don't get me wrong, I could watch Toy Story 1 through 4 every day, maybe not every day for 8 weeks in a row. So, you know,
Riley could.
He could watch Finding Nemo, Finding Dory,
Monsters Inc., Monsters University. Onward.
I've slowly gotten him into WALL-E. He's good for at least the first
Matt's
20 minutes
pushing
of it.
Pushing WALL-E hard.
Low key challenges up for the first 10 best first 10 minutes of any Disney Pixar movie, excuse me.
Okay.
Hot take.
That is a super hot take. Continue on.
Well, Up's propped up by its first 10 minutes, first 10, 15 minutes anyway. I digress. I'm curious to know, Janelle, what discovery have you come across on Disney Plus that you were thrilled to find and have been able to enjoy? I'll start to tee things up here. This morning, I happened upon the Mighty Ducks cartoon.
Oh, boy.
Extremely exciting. Low-key great show about the crime-fighting ducks from an alien planet totally covered in ice, where all they did was play hockey and fight against this alien race of overlords. Great show. Started watching some of that today. It was awesome. Remembered how cool it was. Janelle, have you found... I have a couple hours if I need to dive into this, but... I want you to try to go.
I have two. Only because they're two different entities. Okay. So I think it counts. Thanks. So on the Disney side, Who Framed Roger Rabbit is one of my favorite movies, and I will hear zero arguments about it.
I have to veto that. Because any self-respecting Disney fan, the second Disney Plus became available, searched that title. I'm talking deep dive.
Deep dive.
So, like, here's another one for me, for example. Gargoyles. Found the Gargoyles cartoon.
So you just want me to talk about an old discovery?
Not necessarily. Who Framed Roger Rabbit is a top 20 Disney production ever.
I don't know. I don't know what people like.
I'll accept
as
it.
As far
fine.
As old. Fine. I can name some. Lizzie McGuire, which is super popular. It's not a deep dive. It's popular.
It's deep dive.
It's people. No. Xenon.
Oh. Ugh.
Love me some Xenon. Girl of the 21st century there.
Can't say I ever saw any Xenon, so that's a good pick.
You haven't seen Xenon?
I don't think so.
Zoom, zoom, zoom.
No. No.
Who even are you?
Once Disney Channel went live action and away from the likes of Gargoyles and X-Men and what did I just mention? Mighty Ducks. Once they went away from some of that stuff and more towards the live action, I drifted towards Nickelodeon as a boy. But then Disney got
so sad
Doug.
For you.
Then Disney brought in Doug. Doug Funny.
Yes. I love Doug.
Big Doug.
I love Doug on Nickelodeon. Anyway, I'm going to talk about my other one. So it has National Geographic on it. On Disney Plus, there's National Geographic.
Right.
So, Secrets of the Zoo.
Ooh.
Secrets of the Zoo Tampa. Janelle loves a good behind-the-scenes zoo or aquarium show. I binged both of those hard, big time. Yeah. And I love them, and I hope they do other seasons because I love them so much. But, yeah, I'm liking the National Geographic stuff.
Yep.
Lately.
Now, rapid round here. I've got two other deep dive movies that are classics from my childhood.
I know. I'm trying to think of, like, other...
So, Flight of the Navigator Willow. Great movies. Willow, all-time underrated George Lucas production. Flight of the Navigator.
No.
Great movie. If you haven't seen it,
That count?
What do you mean? How's it count?
You watch that all the time,
but
before Disney Plus.
Generally, people don't know about that movie. It was the spaceship from Flight of the Navigator, spoiler alert, was heavily featured on the now-defunct Backlot Tour. You probably saw it. You didn't even know it because it's a hidden gem on Disney Plus. Go find it. Flight of the Navigator.
I'd go more uncut gem.
The spaceship is voiced by... the same gentleman who voices Pee Wee Herman. Figure that one out. Great, great.
It sounds exactly like him.
It's awesome.
I'm trying to think of another...
Darby O'Gill and Little People. Great movie.
Movie or series. I really...
You like the Goof Troop and the Goofy Movie and Extremely Goofy Movie. Those are... I would consider those deep dives.
Goofy Movie is one of my favorites. I mean, Emperor's New Groove. I watched that the other day by myself. Just because I love Yzma and Kronk, and I will hear no arguments. Because they're awesome. What else? I don't really know.
I think that's a pretty good list. That's a pretty good list of deep dives.
I know, but yours are really deep dive. I'm trying to think of something for me that's really deep dive. But and like, I can't.
Xenon's a pull, trust me. Never. I'm not even positive I'd ever heard of Xenon.
Well, you're a boy.
Well.
So all the girls are listening right now, and they're like, that's not a deep dive. That's a hands down situation. I have been meaning to watch like the old Swiss Family Robinson.
Yeah, I saw that on there the other day.
Yeah, I've been meaning to watch that because me and my mom watched that when I was younger, and I liked that.
Yeah, that's cool.
Those kind of older movies that need to.
So this is one. This is more of an awareness. This is an awareness session for like. There are things on Disney Plus you don't even realize are there. Like, we've had the time to go looking for these things and happened upon them because we've gotten tired of some of the stuff Riley's watching over and over and over again. So, like...
But also, I really like the behind-the-scenes stuff, like the gallery for The Mandalorian, and those kind of things are really cool to us.
Yeah, and we're working through some of those newer things now. As they develop that original programming, we're all looking forward to it. So it's a good little piece of nostalgia.
Yep.
But I think that's a good way to put a bow on this one. Some of these deep dive Disney Plus items, and as we find them, I think we'll make a little list. We might bring this segment back for another episode when we've had some more time to think about it.
I know. So now we're going to get off here and go and like look in there and make a whole list, because there's been a lot of times where I just go through Disney Plus and be like, what do I want to watch? Or what do I need to watch? So I'm going to write a list and I'm going to come back and I'm going to kill it. But if you want to take Xenon, great.
Love some Xenon. I'm going to have to go check it out now.
Yes. I would like to watch you watch Xenon.
On that note, we will catch you.
Protozoa, the magical, majestic singer.
On that note, we're going to go check out some Phineas and Ferb, find out who Candace is.
I know who Candace is.
Finish up this episode 4 of the Mo Magic Hour podcast. So thanks for sticking with us and enjoying our goofiness with us here tonight. And we'll catch you next time.